We've been thinking about this man Saul over the past few weeks, and we've been thinking about the fact that he was a changed man. He was converted. He was converted by the Lord Jesus Christ, who met him on the road, who met him as he was heading into Damascus with the purpose of their imprisoning and taking back any Christians that he found so that they could be tried and put in prison in Jerusalem. And then we discovered that when the Lord met Saul, he changed him. And he sent Ananias to speak to him, and Saul was baptized. As soon as Saul was baptized, he desired to join with the disciples in Damascus. And there we're told that he went to the synagogue and he preached Christ. He preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. That was the very message that Saul had hated so much before. That was the message that he detested and that caused him so much anger in his own heart and caused him to pursue the Christians all the way to these strange cities, all the way to Damascus from Jerusalem. And now he was preaching the exact same message that before he had hated so much. That's what we call a conversion. That's what we call a transformation. Now he preached that Christ was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one that the Jews, all the way from the time of Moses, had expected and anticipated and looked for. He preached that this man Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah. And the Jews, of course, had slain him. The Jews had killed him. And this is what angered the Jewish religion so much. By that message, Saul strengthened the disciples and confounded the Jews. But everyone was amazed. And it's easy to realize why. Here was the great opponent of the gospel. He had switched sides. And instead of being an opponent of the gospel, he had become a proponent of the gospel. Instead of opposing it, he lifted it up. Instead of trying to beat it down, he honored it by his preaching and his testimony and his witness. Such a change had happened in this man's life that he went on to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And I just wanted to point something out to you that we find not in this chapter in Acts chapter 9, but in Galatians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul is recounting to the churches in Galatia, the churches in Turkey, that when he was saved, when he was converted, the message that he had didn't come from somebody else, not even Ananias. He didn't learn it in the synagogue. He didn't learn it from the other Christians. He didn't even learn it from Stephen. But he says in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1, I certify you, brethren, I'm telling you the truth, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What the apostle is telling us here in Galatians, and he's telling the church at Galatia, was that the message which he preached in those early days in Damascus came to him by the direct revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ who taught him who he was, taught him that he was the Son of God, taught him that he was the Messiah. The divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ was taught to Saul by Christ himself. It wasn't of human origin. Saul knew that the person that he had met on the road to Damascus was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when a sinner comes to Christ, trusting him, believing in him for salvation, it doesn't come to us that we need this salvation because we've learned something from men, because we've read a lot of books, because we've listened to a lot of lectures, because we've got some special knowledge about theology. It comes to us that we need to be saved because Christ himself teaches us that. The Holy Spirit reveals to our hearts that we have a need before God. The Holy Spirit speaks the truth to our hearts, the truth of the gospel, so that when we hear the gospel preached, we say, we believe that. We believe that to be true. We believe that the message of the gospel is true. We believe that it's telling us that we have a need, that we are sinners, that we are answerable to a holy God, and we believe that in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the anointed Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life is the only way of escape for us. The only way that we can have our sins cleansed and find peace with God. We believe that the person who died on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. And it was the God-man who died to save us from our sins. In verse 23, we read there of many days. And we're told that these Jews that were at Damascus, after many days, they tried to slay Paul, or Saul, as he then was. He doesn't get called Paul for a little while yet in the Acts, but he was a converted man. If we think of the old man as Saul, then the new man was Paul. And it speaks of many days. In fact, it may well have been very many days. Because again, in Galatians chapter 1, when Paul is talking about this time, he tells us about something that isn't mentioned in the book of Acts at all. And indeed, if it wasn't for him speaking to the Galatians, we wouldn't know anything about this. But he tells us that there was a time that he spent in Arabia. And it is possible that it was during this time when he was in Damascus that he went to Arabia. We don't know what he did there. We don't know whether he was being taught of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he suggested, or whether he was ministering and preaching the gospel to other communities and other towns and villages. We don't know anything about it because the book of the Acts is silent on it. But this is what Paul says in Galatians. He says, I didn't go up to Jerusalem, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So here's a little insight that is just of interest to us, that Saul indeed may well have been many days between these verses. And it's just a little bit hard to be sure how long these periods were. But what we do know is that when Saul returned to Damascus, or was in Damascus, that the Jews sought to kill him. The Jews seemed, as indeed Saul himself had done, they seemed to think that murdering those who disagreed with them was the right thing to do. Murder is wrong, and these Jews were wrong for trying to kill Saul. But we're also told in this passage that escaping murderers is an all right thing to do. Some of the disciples, like Stephen, were martyred. They were slain, and Saul himself had been involved in much of that. But here, Saul is able to escape these murderers. And while they watched the gates of the city to catch him as he came in and out, he was let down on the side of the city wall in a basket that was slung over the wall, and he was lowered down on ropes in a basket, and he was able to escape. Saul had much work yet to do for the gospel, and we must be grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ preserved the apostle at this time in his life when he was under attack and saved him that he might be sent to work and to serve. Now it is in verse 26 that Saul travels to Jerusalem. And even after all this time, we discover that there is a suspicion about Saul and great fear that continues in Jerusalem concerning him. And then we meet Barnabas. Barnabas spoke up for Saul. And that's a lovely quality that we discover in Barnabas. He was always endeavouring to help and to encourage and to reconcile and to build up the church. And so he comes and he gives his own personal recommendation for Saul. He speaks to the apostles in Jerusalem and to the church in Jerusalem, and he recommends Saul to them. And again, in verse 29, we see that Saul preaches Christ. Paul is preaching Christ. He is preaching amongst the Jews. He is preaching in the synagogue. He is preaching amongst the believers. The Lord Jesus Christ, the things that he had learned from Christ, he is passing on to others. And that, again, is a lovely picture, showing that the Lord is the Saviour of his people, speaking of the things that he had learned from Christ and passing those things on to others. That was the beginning of his ministry that would last for the whole of his life, from a relatively young man to an old man. Saul, Paul, would preach the gospel of Christ. And again, the Jews tried to kill him. It seems as if life as a preacher could be very dangerous. And so Saul again is protected by the believers in Jerusalem. And the brethren hid him, and they found an opportunity for him to escape using a route through Caesarea, which was a port town. And from there he sailed to Tarsus, which was his home city, on the assumption that there he might be safer amongst perhaps family and old friends. And it was to Tarsus that Barnabas would later go to find him. This is almost like a suspense movie when we think about all the things that are happening to Saul at this time in his life. It's a drama in his life, full of threats and escapes. But it shows us just how dangerous it was for believers and preachers to speak about and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. It was costly then to trust in Jesus. And sometimes when we become complacent, or when we become a little bit at ease with the circumstances in our life, we don't think that it's important too much to speak about Jesus. These people knew that their life was at risk if they spoke about Jesus, and they still spoke of him. That shows us how important it is to witness and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Later, Paul would tell us that he did suffer a lot. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, he tells us that of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. If my arithmetic is right, that means that he was whipped with a rod, with a stick, or maybe with a whip, 39 times on 5 different occasions. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, and a night and a day I have been in the deep. He was floating for a night and a day on the sea, and didn't know if he was going to be rescued. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, the Jews, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. But in all of these things that Saul suffered for the sake of Christ and the gospel and preaching the gospel, Paul was a chosen vessel, chosen of the Lord Jesus Christ, equipped and preserved by God through it all, by the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him and his church and his people. And we bless the Lord that he gave the church brave men like Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. And when we read the writings of Paul, and when we listen to the words of Paul, let us realize what it cost that man to go to the places that he went to preach, to write the things that he wrote in our letters. And let us value these scriptures, for here is a man who suffered much in order to bring us this message of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.